Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, keeping an eye on Congress, where there has been substantial movement toward getting us to the point where we get one big, beautiful bill. But there's a lot of maneuvering that's going to go on before we get there. Scott Parkinson's going to explain it all. Scott, good to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be back.
The United States Senate last week moved the ball forward a bit here with a resolution. Please fill us in on what the Senate did and where that particular maneuver stands in the overall process.
Roughly a month ago, the House of Representatives passed their budget resolution, which would allow for a $4.5 trillion tax cut and also allow for about $2 to $2.5 trillion of spending cuts. This was sort of the negotiation that was necessary to get that bill through the House of Representatives. And in order to unlock the sort of golden key for reconciliation and to pass the tax cuts, you have to have a concurrent budget resolution, meaning the same budget has to pass the House and then the Senate. Well, the House's resolution did not include what are known as budget reconciliation instructions for the Senate committees. So we knew the Senate was going to pass a different budget and send it back to the House. And that negotiation took several weeks. And ultimately, last Friday, the United States Senate Republicans, for the most part, got together and passed a resolution. I think it was 51 to 48 with Patty Murray from Washington State missing the vote, and Susan Collins and Rand Paul, strange political frenemies or whatever you would say, from the far right all the way to the sort of the middle of the entire United States Senate and the left of the Republican Conference. Those two voted against it, but for very, very different reasons. With Senator Paul, I think it's clear that he is opposed to setting the stage for the biggest debt limit increase in our nation's history. This budget resolution would have a lot of pro-growth things, not just on tax policy, but energy and deregulation, and really trying to set the tempo for another economic boom underneath President Trump. And so, Trump wants to have that debt limit increase included. Rand voted against the resolution for that reason. And then Susan Collins wanted to take steps to basically carve out Medicaid and protect Medicaid. And there was a budget resolution amendment that was defeated. So I think that's why she opposed the resolution. Now what happens is the Senate only included $4 billion of targets for spending reductions. And that should be known as a floor, not a ceiling. The Senate was using messaging to say that they want flexibility in allowing the committees to really go as far as they can get, but they don't want to violate the Byrd rule by setting a big target let's say $2 trillion for the Senate Finance Committee, and then failing to be able to do that. That would kill the whole bill if they can't meet those reconciliation instructions. The Byrd rule, as a reminder to the listeners, is basically the referee that and the rule book for how to adjudicate reconciliation legislation, and the Senate parliamentarian enforces that when various points of order are raised by the party in opposition. And I think that the Senate resolution and having those really, really low spending targets, that's a problem for a lot of conservatives in the House of Representatives. But what I think can start to occur now is a real negotiation on various elements of the tax plan.
As the process moves forward, what then happens with that tax plan and with taxes? Is this where we actually get down to the details of legislation?
Well, soon I think you will see committees put out sort of a roadmap on what their work includes and does not include. In Washington last week, there was an article that was written, I think, in Bloomberg News, and then another one followed up on it in Axios, that said that they were considering increasing the top individual rate from 37% up to about 40%. And, you know, this week, Club for Growth issued a statement in opposition to that. And we think that that's important because in 2017, Club for Growth fought alongside President Trump to get rid of the Obama-era 39.6% rate on individuals. That's the top rate. And, you know, to entertain this idea of a millionaire's tax, a wealth tax, you know, punishing success in America by increasing the individual rate, we wanted to put that that story to bed, and we issued a statement saying that we would key vote against a tax plan that increased the top rate on individuals. I think that that's an important marker because it really takes the option off the table, in my view. This is a policy that we've been discussing privately with our friends in the House of Representatives, United States Senate, and the White House. And so it wasn't like it was a surprise to them, but we can't have unnamed sources manipulating the negotiation in public by, you know, suggesting that the top rate is going to go up to pay for other anomalies in the tax plan. And I think that's why we decided ultimately to issue that statement.
So what now is the timing on all of this, Scott? At what point are we targeting or looking forward to getting the final bill and getting a vote that gets this over the finish line?
It's a good question. And, you know, Lohman, I think that there just isn't this urgency in Washington, D.C. to pass a tax plan next week or even in the next few weeks. And that's because there's no real deadline in place in the upcoming weeks. The next big deadline will be the so-called X date on the debt limit. And, you know, there will be action that's necessary there. But I think that there's some members that say, you know, you can do whatever you got to do on the debt limit. Maybe there ends up being a bipartisan agreement to raise that. But, you know, the taxes don't actually expire until the end of 2025. And you might remember in 2017 when we did the tax law, we didn't sign that. President Trump didn't sign that into law until the middle of December, right before Christmas. And, you know, I think that until there's a real urgency in Washington, D.C., you know, we can have goals and we can continue to work forward and make progress. Maybe the middle of June is a good target. Maybe the end of July, right before the August recess. But I really think that it is absolutely critical to getting a bill done as fast as possible so that the economic impact is felt ahead of the 2026 midterms.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, typically you tell us a bit about the club. Let's do that now.
Well, Club for Growth is united in the idea of economic freedom, liberty, opportunity. We want to keep your taxes low. If you want to learn more about where we stand, visit us at clubforgrowth.org, where you can sign up to become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, looking forward to talking with you next week. Thank you.
You're welcome.